Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Hell yeah, 7 a.m.
When does it come out?
7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Every day?
Or whatever time, yeah.
Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday.
Wow.
And if crazy stuff happens on the weekends, sometimes then.
Wow, what a deal. anyways, we're trying to put back the pieces after that loss to the Spurs.
Oof.
A little bit of a heartbreaker, 116-113. We're going to talk about what we liked from that one as well as what we didn't like. Hint, hint, the loss.
Yeah.
as well as overall how we're feeling. And then classic Clippers back to back. So we've got to talk about the game preview for the game against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Today, by the time you're listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about what we need to do well in that one as well as what could go wrong. Give you some key matchups to take a peek at. And then it's What You Say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday, little poll goes out on Twitter. We want to know what you think. This one, very contentious.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a question that a lot of folks have been asking.
It's been simmering, I feel like.
It has been simmering, yeah. A lot of people want to know, where should Morris fit in once he comes back to the Clippers? Should he come off the bench? Should he go back to his starting role? So we're going to talk about that. And yeah, maybe some shavings. If we have enough time. I don't know if we'll have enough time. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers fell to the Spurs 116-113. The game started off even before tip-off wonky.
Yeah.
PG, it was
late scratch.
Paul George with an ankle issue did not end up playing, which was a surprise for everybody. And LaMarcus Aldridge did end up playing. So we got that one wrong in the preview. But what are you going to do?
Soreness. Big issue for the Clippers right now.
Yeah, ankle soreness, which like at this point I'm like, are they just trolling all the fans with how many?
Did they run out of Bengay? I don't know.
But so that is something to keep an eye on. I got to assume, we'll talk about this more in the next game.
You've been potting through some knee soreness.
Yeah, knees back to, look, I'm good to go if the Clippers need me. But that's something to think about maybe for the game against the Warriors tonight when you're listening to this. I have to assume Paul George will play since Kawhi Leonard is probably going to sit. But what we liked in this game, and I don't know if we should start. There's three things that were the highlight for this game, which if you watch this game, you were in for kind of a treat, kind of a heartbreaking one, but it was good.
Yeah. I got to start with Pat Bev.
Yeah, so we should preface this because this goes with one of the points, but the Clippers were down by 24 at one point. They were down 20 at half.
Yes.
We retook the lead. Pat Bev was a huge part of that. What did he do?
He had 28 and 8.
It was unreal.
He was 7 of 10, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
He just hit timely threes when we need them. They were big momentum threes.
Which when you're down 24 is kind of every single three you can take, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of those things. Like, it's not a surprise. We know he can hit threes. He's a career 38% shooter. This is nothing new. But just to be able to do it at the volume that he was, it was great. It was awesome for the Clippers to have that option. Some of the best kind of ball movement ended up
Kawhi
kind of
deferred
going
to him at one point.
Yes,
like,
kind of ended up going to Pat Bev. Oh, and what a sequence that was.
Yes.
I got to give it up for Pat Bev. I think, you know, a lot of times he is like, it doesn't show up on the stat sheets. The last game, that win over the Suns, he led the team in plus minus. He was like plus 21.
I think he had led the team in boards too.
but this was one where like he got it done all over the place. A little bit of a bummer that we didn't come out with the win. He was clearly very upset about that fact in the postgame presser.
He also saved. There was a horrible shot selection by Lou Will with like 14 seconds left that could have made this game even. It would have been a worse loss. We would have lost on that shot.
Yeah.
And Pat Bev managed to save it, which was great. Second point, these are all tied for the most important point. Kawhi Leonard played his best game as a masked man to this point. 30 points, 3 boards, a career-high 10 assists. And these assists, like the ball movement for the Clippers in the third quarter especially, because we trimmed a 20-point lead to 2. The ball movement from everybody in the third quarter was so good to see. But, dude, Kawhi was throwing no-look passes, like borderline skyhook passes, cross-court across his body. There was every kind of pass on display from Kawhi, and it was gorgeous to watch.
It was. And we do have to note, though, like, he was seeing a lot of bodies.
So double and triple teams.
That does open up the passing game, as it should. You know, like, they were still great reads. I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but, like, it is one of those things that was tough for him this whole game. I mean, having 30 points when the amount of
inefficient 30 points.
Yeah, on the amount of bodies he was seeing was pretty incredible.
100%. And then the other big thing is that the team just fought back.
Yes.
We shot 76% in the third quarter after being down 20 at half. Kawhi was 5 of 7 in that quarter. And another big part of just like this loss really sucks. We were down. We were pretty bummed out at halftime because we thought it was about to be a 20-point loss. But the team showed something they didn't show a lot of, if maybe at all, last season. And then, Nick Batum just keeps playing better and better for the Clippers.
Oh, man. Batum was great. Led the team in plus-minus. He did everything. He had 21, 9, and 3 with a steal and a block.
A huge block.
We were down two starters in this one.
Yeah.
And he's still able to fill the gaps in a way
that's... He had 8-4-4 after the first?
Yeah.
It made no sense.
But it's in a way, too, where he's not like, I'm the guy tonight. Like, I'm going to step up into this thing. It's
I'm
like a
the
very
guy.
It's like a very organic way of kind of filling in this position.
For sure.
Which is the reason that, you know, he is leading the team in plus minus. Like, it's not a forced situation.
Yeah. And then... We were able to keep their we got beat by the Spurs that you're not expecting to be beat. Well, Patty Mills kind of. But DeRozan, Aldridge got some looks early from the mid range, but we kinda held them in check.
Yeah, if it wasn't for DeJounte, who had an incredible
and
game.
And Patty.
Patty Mills was their leading scorer, but
yeah.
Other than DeJounte, every starter had a negative plus minus for the Spurs. So, obviously this was a close loss, but still pretty telling of the job that the Clippers were able to do, despite being down two guys.
Yeah.
So what didn't we like? It's time to get into that.
Ooh, so the biggest issue that showed up tonight was that the fact that Paul George being out hurts the bench unit a lot more than it hurts the starters.
Very great point. The rotations were really weird.
They kind of had to be. So, there's been some flack for Ty Lue. I just saw on Twitter kind of post game. I was kind of upset he didn't have Pat Bevin for the last shot. It was a Kawhi fadeaway three.
Why don't you tell him that? Say it to his face.
I'm not going to say that to his face. Kawhi did miss a three to win the game, to tie the game, which was rough. I don't know what else Ty Lue was supposed to do with these lineups, right? So without PG and Mook, the best defenders on the team are Kawhi, Batum, and Bev for perimeter people.
Yeah.
The other four players that have to play are Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, Lou Will, and Terrence Mann. And Lou Williams right now might be the best defender of these four because Terrence Mann is completely unplayable. He was minus 20 in 8 minutes tonight.
Yeah, he was rough. Every minute there was horrible. A struggle.
Reggie Jackson is Reggie Jackson. He did some timely things but did a bunch of bonehead things too. So the lineups were just so wonky. But it shows that, when this team, the floor for this team is a lot lower than last season.
Well, I think that,
when two starters are out.
We've talked about this before, too, but the depth for this team is just, it's very slim. And if things are going well and we actually have everybody healthy, it's enough, and it's enough that, the ceiling is high, right?
Ceiling's crazy high.
You know, when you have to run out some of those three-man, with some
four guard lineups.
Yeah, with some of those, four guard lineups, with Zoo being, the only plus defender.
We saw what? We saw Bev, Mann, Luke, Reggie tonight, or something like that, with Zoo out there, and it was this doesn't look good. Not that it should, but, I don't know what else we were supposed to do.
Yeah, it's so weird, because a team that I think of is being kind of wing-heavy doesn't have enough wings.
No. And when you're down to start, I don't know, man. It's brutal. The staggering was weird. It seemed like Ty Lue was kind of staggering Kennard early when he should have been staggering Batum and Kawhi a little earlier. Kawhi played the whole first quarter.
Yeah.
And then the non-Kawhi minutes were awful. The fourth quarter of this game, it was a 2-point lead? And Kawhi was out for the first 2 minutes. And the lead went to 12.
So it seems like...
Because of no Kawhi and just Reggie. It was just bad.
I'll have to take another look at this, but it seems like when one of Kawhi or Paul George is absent, the remainder will play the entire 12 of the first quarter.
Yeah, for sure. Which, when you're healthy, love it. But tonight, it was just tough. But, you know, growing pains. You're down two starters. You know, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, a more troubling thing, I guess, like, we talked about this a little bit in the preview, like, the ball movement for the Spurs, they generally have more assists than us. We ended up winning the assist game
tonight.
A little bit late. But I guess the thing is, I know that we're trying to eliminate shots from three, or from the rim, but are we giving up just too many threes?
I mean, Patty Mills seemed to think so. He went 8 of 12 from 3. He was red hot. I'm not going to pretend like Patty Mills is always like this, but he is when he plays the Clippers. He was red hot. DeJounte Murray was 1 of 13 the game before, and then against us shot kind of an absurd percentage. He shot 50% from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3. So I don't know. I think that's just growing pain stuff. And I think that's also being down all the starters stuff. Because we're going to talk about in the third segment kind of what else Morris brings to the starters that Batum maybe doesn't.
Yes.
But I agree, it's a little worrisome.
So we are top 10 still, barely. We're 10 in opponent three-point percentage.
Yeah.
But we're 24th in opponent three-point attempts. We're giving up 37 looks a game.
It's a lot.
And we'll talk about this more in the Warriors preview, but I don't know, man. Look, it'd be one thing if we were actually effectively cutting off some of those easy looks around the rim.
Yeah.
But A, I don't think that we're doing enough of that. And B, the rebounding hasn't been there. So I just don't think that it's enough if we're giving up this many looks at three.
And this has to do with another thing, which is slow starts. That was talked about in this game. It's something we're going to talk about in the next segment. We went 1 of 8 from three in the first quarter. Shots weren't falling, so the effort on defense kind of wasn't there because you're bummed because the shots aren't falling, or maybe it was the defense making the shots not fall. Who knows? It was a nightmare during the first half. We got to get it fixed. I mean, fast break points, we got killed.
26-8. And this is a thing, too. Like, we have been playing well in the half court. I think we're, like, the third best offense in the half court.
Yeah.
We need to exploit teams' turnovers. We've been so good with the deflections lately, but we need to translate that into points.
Yes, 100%.
Period. Like, we need to be getting those easy looks, especially when, you know, when the shooting isn't there. I don't know. It's not worrisome yet, but it's...
How many games till you're worried?
Whatever nearly worrisome is.
Yeah, how many games till you're worried?
I'm saying if these same problems are showing up at 16, 20 games, I'm worried.
That's fair. And now we're closing out with how we feeling. And look, it was hard to get the bad taste of the first half out of your mouth if you watch this game. And looking at the stats, it probably will be too. But we just didn't quit. We didn't quit in the Jazz game. We didn't quit in this game. Like, I don't know. This was a very frustrating loss. We're 5-3. We almost came back. You know, let's forget about this one.
Yes.
We're out PG and Mook, you know?
Yeah, out two starters. I don't know. I still think that we had enough to get it done. And
we definitely did, because we were leading at one point in the fourth. For literally a second, I think.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Coming up, we're going to be doing a preview of what could be a great chance to bounce back for the Clippers. But first, Will, talk to me about online betting. What is it? Where can I do it?
All right. Well, online betting is, you know, just the most legal fun you can have.
Hell yeah.
The best place to do it is betonline.ag. I know y'all are ready for some football. College football is in bowl season. There's some big matchups. Obviously, the NFL. Heading to this playoff picture, becoming clear. There's only one place that, as you covered, one place that we trust for betting. It's betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% off welcome bonus. Look, the blowouts have been insane this year. I don't know if I'm a bold enough man to try and bet some of the spreads, but hey.
I lost.
A braver person than me might be. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Fantastic. Thank you, BetOnline, for keeping the lights on over here. We're previewing Clippers versus Warriors real fast. Got to assume there's going to be no Kawhi, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's not after what he had to do against the Spurs game. PG, probably?
Hopefully.
I think it's probably, but I would put probably / hopefully.
I mean, hopefully. Given, if they're both out and Morris is out, I don't know.
I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to have Terrence Mann and Steph Curry. The Warriors are 4-3, and when they lose, it's by a lot. Their three losses are of 26, 39, and 35 points. One of their wins is also when Steph dropped 62. So, bit of a weird season. But what we need to do well in this one, let's just start hot.
Yes.
Everyone knows what this means. In every possible facet, let's, you know, not be lacking on defense. Let's hit a couple open shots. Let's not shy away from the three, maybe. Like, Steph is coming off 62 points and is really trying to solidify that legacy that really just needs a couple more.
It's got
to
be solidified.
You know, he hasn't done a whole lot.
Look, the slow starts are also starting to get a little bit troubling.
Okay, so I'm not as worried about the slow start thing. Eight games, you know, that's whatever. No
it's
real
just
training
something
camp.
That we saw last year.
Right, but we had a full offseason last year.
So I don't get how that
and
makes
a full
it
training
better.
Camp. We didn't have that this year.
All right.
It's like how in the NFL, they're like, you know, there's no preseason, so a lot of these games in the first couple are going to be pretty trash, like working the kinks out. We're 10%, a little over, 11.5% of the season done. I like your thing of like 16 to 20 games. I think that's a great barometer. If we're still starting slow then, I will fully be worried.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't know.
That's
it
fair.
Sucks.
That's fair.
But it definitely can't happen against these Warriors.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, I'm saying it can't. It might. What else do we got
to
do?
Well, to combat that sort of slow start, we got to just improve on the shot selection and ball movement. We did a great job of committing to the past, kind of down the stretch in this one.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kawhi, 10 assists. Won't have him likely tonight, but you know we got to see that kind of commitment. For 48 minutes.
Yeah, it has. I want to see a comprehensive win in this one. Even if it's close, I don't want to see any effort kind of not put in. And we have to make the other Warriors beat us. Draymond Green, we know Steph is Steph.
Yeah.
Draymond Green can still affect the game.
Is he going to be playing?
I don't know. He played last game. So who knows? So he's probably going to play for them and put up, you know, 5 threes on 5 attempts. Who knows? But we got to let Wiggins and Oubre get their shots. Wiggins and Oubre are 2-3 on the team in attempts. Oubre has the 4th worst field goal percentage on the team. Wiggins has the 6th. Everyone knows how horribly they're playing. This also does kind of lend itself to playing a team like the Clippers, who are...
Let's maybe not give them open looks from three, though.
Yes. Slump busters.
Yes.
So this is a whole team defense thing. The thing that's going to beat us in this game is outliers. And we can't let them, we can't put them in a situation to exploit in a glimmer of an outlier.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. And I'd like to see us, we talked about this in the last segment, but like we got to make better opportunities out of turnovers. You know, the deflections have been on point. It's been great.
Yeah.
But we need to turn that like
into productivity.
And like the Warriors have handled the ball really well despite some of their struggles. 5th lowest turnover percentage in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
So any opportunity we get, like we just have to be pushing the pace and we have to capitalize on that.
In terms of what could go wrong, speaking of assists, Draymond and Steph, 1-2 in assists for the Warriors. So it's pretty much a 2-man show over there right now. We just have to contain everyone. We just have to contain these two guys if both of them end up playing, their influence on this game.
Yes.
And we just can't let them in early. Like, I feel like a broken record, but we're going to be saying this maybe a lot in these first, hopefully only 16 to 20 games.
Yes.
But we just got to tighten it up quick.
So there's some troubling trends right now for the Clippers.
Whoa!
We are in the bottom half of opponent effective field goal percentage.
Okay.
Opponents are shooting great against us.
Yep.
We are in the bottom half of opponent rebound percentage. We're not getting boards. We are bottom 6 in opponent free throw attempts. So what I propose is Let's try to cover up one of these things.
Okay,
right?
Not even all three.
Let's maybe not have the Warriors shoot more free throw attempts than us. Maybe out rebound the Warriors. We did out rebound the Spurs.
Yes.
Zoo had zero at halftime and ended with eight, which is fantastic. Anyway.
Yes. Let's maybe not let the Warriors be super efficient as that offense can be.
Do we think the free throw attempts is maybe the biggest one? That feels like what helps the Warriors in this.
I mean, it's also our lowest rank, so yes. Yeah. That would be great. That would be great.
Yes, that would be very clutch. What else could go wrong, maybe?
I mean, once again, just the slow start. If we kind of let them if we let them feel it early, it's going to be a bad.
And they're shooting a shit ton of threes over there.
That's the thing. Like, I'm really starting to worry about the volume from three. It just feels to me like, you know, like we're going to lose some of those games. The Warriors are sixth in 3-point attempts. They're 12th in percentage. And the Clippers are a team that you're going to shoot some of your best percentages against.
So I'm saying that think about 12th in percentage with Steph Curry and then everyone else pretty much just hurling up bricks.
Yeah.
So they only need two guys to shoot 33% in this game to make it interesting.
Yes.
If things are going well, right?
Yes.
Some key matchups. I mean, Bev/everyone versus Steph is one that I think most people are going to be looking for. Bev played well versus Spurs, but now has to guard an even better player than Patty Mills only when he plays the Clippers, which is pretty difficult. Having PG back will help with deflections. I hope PG is back for this case.
Definitely. I'm curious to see in this one. Obviously, I'm certain we're only going to see one of Kawhi or PG, and it's going to be whichever one is ready to go. If PG's ready to go, obviously Kawhi will be able to rest. If he's not ready to go, I do think that we'll try to give Kawhi some minutes.
What? First back-to-back played in two seasons?
I think you have to.
I'll tell you what, if we were five and if we lose this game, I'd be pretty bummed.
I think that you have to. We're like
the West is weird right now.
We're barely above 500 and I just don't think you can afford to lose.
It has only been eight games though.
Okay, fine. Yeah, great. Over 10% of
Everyone's
the season
barely
is over.
Over 500.
So I'm curious to see whoever does end up getting that start in this one, how they choose to throw bodies at them, if they're going to be as aggressive with the trapping as we have kind of started to see all season the lack of a point guard.
And that goes into kind of Lou versus Kerr.
Yes.
Which is great because former finals foes, both teams on very different trajectories now than the last time they played each other in the finals. But like Steve Kerr might know.
Only eight games though, right? So
it's only eight games, player.
So Warriors could be on the same trajectory.
They could be. That's actually, you know what? Maybe. But Kerr like might know Ty Lue's kind of bag of tricks more than any other coach when you think about it. They've matched up so many times together.
My thing about Ty Lue though is his style is no style. He takes influence.
He's an
airbender,
dude. He's a style bender, my guy. So that's gonna be fun to watch. Hopefully, more fun for the Clippers than the Warriors. What's your prediction for this game? Also, should we not do predictions because the NBA season right now is you either get a 20-point lead and almost come back or lose by 50 points?
We'll do predictions once we've played every team once. No. Look, man, I'm just saying we have to win.
So how about this? It's not a must win, but we have to win.
No, it's a must win.
I don't know if it's a must win.
It's a must win. We have to win.
If one of Kawhi or PG plays, it's a must win.
If neither of them
play, which I think I would be surprised by, it's a God damn, I hope he wins the game.
If neither play, I mean, it'll probably be a loss. But yikes. I mean... We got to win this one. I'm sorry. We got to win this one.
Hey, you know what? I agree. We got to win this one. Let's get it. Coming up, we're going to be talking Marcus Morris and Nick Batum spots on the roster thanks to your fantastic votes. But first, have to give a shout out to Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it used to be. There are six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Don't forget caramel brown. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. Whoever's eating these things, you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, the good highs and the good lows, the way it should be. Great for the keto diet. I enjoy the cookies and cream flavor. 17 grams of protein, buck 30 calories, not too bad. 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs. I eat the cookies and cream flavor while I listen to Peaches and Cream by Snoop Dogg. It's a really good way to start the morning. Right now, you can maybe get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. That's all capital letters in one word. And you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so we're back with What You Say Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
And this one has been a pretty contentious sort of conversation amongst Clippers fans and, you know, just in general. But
people at coffee shops, people at bus stops, the chatter.
Former friends, now foes. Anyways, the question is, which lineup do you want to see Marcus Morris play with once he comes back from the knee soreness, whenever that may be?
God.
So the options obviously are starters or second unit. And what people had to say out there, 49% of people are saying starters. But the majority of the listeners and just general voters out there are saying they would like to see Marcus Morris return to the Clippers on the second unit.
Yes, so this had 430 votes. Shout out to everyone who voted at Locked On Clips. This literally was like 416 or 216 to 214. This is the closest one we've ever had. Batum pretty much hasn't had a bad game for the Clippers. If you count the first game as a bad game, sure, and like there's the Mavs game,
won.
But everyone, but you know, but like individually. But yeah, you're right. So we won. The Mavs game. That's an outlier. I don't even remember if we've played the Mavs at any point in the season. We also don't really know how hurt Morris is. And I'm not even exaggerating. Truly, no one seems to have any idea how hurt he actually is. So when the runway gets shorter, it's this thing of like,
I thought we were only 10% in.
If he's hurt for 20 games, we're not.
Yeah.
Right? Like, with injuries, I think it's way different. Because this is, like you said, remember with PG, he's going to miss 11 games.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Last season. And now we're just on this.
There's no timeline.
Slow, horrible roller coaster that's only going down for Marcus Morris's knee. I'm going to be honest. I'm torn. I completely see both sides on this one. I'm agreeing with Clipper Nation. It's 51-49 for me. And it depends on when how I wake up that day.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. Like, obviously, the way that Morris lifts the second unit is really interesting.
Oh, Morris with the second unit would be crazy.
We need another defender on that that unit. And it would be more defenders traditionally than our second unit has had.
Yeah, like so it's better to lose the defender for the starters than gain the offense for the starters is what you're saying. Compared to Batum and Morris, right? We're obviously. I think we're both kind of split on this.
Yeah, I'm kind of split. That to me is like the biggest benefit. Obviously, the scoring. I mean, no problem. Like that's
yes.
That helps either unit though to me equally.
Yeah.
But I think that defense is needed a lot more on that second unit.
Oh yeah.
Especially just kind of given the lack of wing depth. It elevates the Marcus Morris elevates the ceiling of either unit.
Absolutely.
But the floor is elevated a little bit
so
more.
So much higher.
I think with Morris out there. But on the other side, I mean, this team last year posted their best defensive ratings with Marcus Morris with those starters.
The ball movement is something I think about because Batum moves the ball so much better than Marcus Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that Marcus Morris is bad at it, but Batum has shown just such a great ability. It kind of helping this offense make these little passes or little handoffs or something like that that just help it get kind of the flow early.
Definitely.
Which is good. My thing with Marcus Morris on the second unit, Lucas Hahn brought up a great point on Twitter because we were talking about how Zubats has been pretty bad on the boards. His hands in general have been pretty rough to start the season. Lucas Hahn had a theory that Zoo is getting kind of out-rebounded so much because he's having to do so much extra help on the second unit in terms of defense. He's getting drawn out. Oh, which I'm like, that blew my mind, because I'm like, you're hella right.
It's 100% true. It's 100% true. So he's overextended there.
He's overextended.
He's all the time you see cuts to the basket where Zoo
is cleaning up after Terrence Mann. He's cleaning up after Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. You see cuts to the basket where Zoo is raising his hands and you can't see me, but I'm doing what is this? what is this kind of thing? Because there's no help. There's absolutely no help.
And there's communications breakdown before there isn't even help. But so my point to that is, like, that allows Morris or the second unit allows Zoo to maybe get more boards, so the second unit doesn't give up rebounds, because it's not like anyone else is grabbing a bunch of rebounds out there other than Zubats for the second unit, and it helps that ball movement with the starters. So like, there's so many. This is a very legitimate split right now in terms of 51% to 49%. Seth Goldstein had a good point about Batum being on the second unit,
mm-hmm.
is that Batum is a great cutter and will greatly benefit from Lou Will and Kennard's distribution.
I mean, that's...
that's a great point.
Either one of these guys, like, can fit in either spot, in my mind. You know? Like, it's honestly kind of splitting hairs once both are healthy. But yeah, I can definitely see that. Batum on the cuts. He also has been a lot more consistent shooting kind of the spot up off ball threes. So, you know, that's just good for either unit. But I have been liking the ball movement quite a bit with him with the starters.
Yeah, it's looked good. We're posting some. We had like the couple days ago, you know, after a couple crazy games happened, we had like the best net rating. Clipper Spencer, frequent mm-hmm. contributor, by the way, shout out Clipper Spencer, said, love Batum. Dude is lights out from three right now and drawing fouls coming off of screens. But those numbers have to come down, and Morris is probably more consistent shooter and will be able to attack the rim in this five-out lineup and draw more fouls. I don't know if I agree about the draw more fouls part, because I don't necessarily want Marcus Morris to be, like, driving a bunch.
Well, that's another point, though. Like, with Morris on the second unit, he is a guy who can get his own shot more so than Batum can.
Very good point. Yeah, and then you have two guys for sure, Lou Will and Marcus Morris, who can get their own shot. And then Kennard, who's been playing a lot better, looked very tired in the game against the Spurs. But, you know, the dude's
Everybody
tired.
Looked kind of gassed.
Yeah, very tired. But it's a question, and it's something that Ty Lue is going to have to answer hopefully in the next week. Like, so we play the Warriors on Wednesday when you're listening to this, and then I'm pretty sure our next game is also against the Warriors on Friday.
So when, I mean, like, how long can they continue the knee soreness thing? I mean, I know a lot of Clippers fans are probably having some bad flashbacks to Luke and Bamute.
Oh, I am. Mook and Bamute is what people are calling him on Twitter.
But I mean, the NBA has sort of revised their policies on you know, the designation for injuries and rest. So I mean, are they going to be able to just do the same thing?
I think so. I think it's probably what you start the designation as. If you start the injury when you first report it as day-to-day, I feel like the only way you can go is worse. And they can't really press you to go worse, because you can be like, it's day to day. What do you want me to do? It's knee soreness. It's so unspecific.
Yeah.
Which lends itself to some conspiracy theories, which I don't want to get into right now. You better strap in, dude. But no, it's something to keep an eye on. I'm hoping we get a clearer picture soon. Ty Lue has had some very funny answers about this, but nothing really concrete yet. So, you know, we'll find out soon, maybe.
Less jokes.
Less jokes. More timelines.
More news.
That's the new Locked On Clippers slogan, is less jokes, more news.
Well, not for this show. But
in fact, we're doing the complete opposite. Anything else in shavings we got to go over?
No. Other than the loss, you know, a little bit of an uneventful day.
A little bit of an uneventful day. Let's hope that the Clippers get this dub against the Warriors tonight. Thursday's episode, we're going to be recapping that hopeful victory against the Warriors. Talking rotations, hopefully a timeline for Marcus Morris coming back. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Again, we're coming at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. We take it down right at 7:30. So listen to it. No, I'm just kidding. We don't. It's up all day. Will, where can these people show some love if they decide to? It's their choice.
You know what? You should tell your friends, or you yourself should listen to us on iTunes with the podcast app.
Hell yeah.
We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Really helps us out. Seriously. Just subscribe.
It really
get
does.
Get this news 7 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday.
Absolutely.
If you like what we're doing over here, leave a rating and review. Doesn't even cost anything.
We'll read it on air, too. If it's a bad review, we'll read it on air. Good review, probably read it twice.
Provided that iTunes hasn't removed the review feature, which is somehow in the air.
I'm calling Tim Cook right now to get it figured out. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.